Good morning, good morning, good morning. How many of you know that whatever you need, God can? God can. Thank you for coming to church. How many of you are just excited today? You're just excited to be here. I love our worship team, don't you? I just love them. And, I love Nico, I love Michael, Christine, but Michael and Christine, just so you know, I need you don't know this, but Michael and Christine are both cat people. I just want you to know that. Michael's got a cat about this big. And it just doesn't, for me, it bothers me. But I will show you a picture one day of Michael's cat, okay? But it's like a lion. It's a big cat. How many of you excited about getting your mug today? Getting your mug today. Mm-hmm. When you're on the way out, they've got tables and they were covered as you come in, but as you leave, they'll be open. You just grab one and they're free. Inside of every coffee mug are these five blue cards, and they're just advertising our next series. And so we're just asking that you would take those cards and think and pray about who you can invite. We're in a series called 316, but this series is called Freedom. And we're going to discuss having freedom from anger, freedom from sin, freedom from debt, freedom from prejudice, and we're going to talk about freedom to serve Jesus here in the United States of America. So it's a great series, and it'll be a blessing. So please do that. And we bought enough mugs to give every one of you one for free, all right? We did buy some extras in case you wanted to purchase some extras. And that's available, I believe, I'm not sure, out at the prayer tower at the ticket office. And I think they're selling them too for $10, okay? So they're cheap. We're selling them to you real cheap there. But if you wanted to buy some extras, you can. Next weekend, as Michael said, is Mother's Day, and my wife will be sharing, so please keep her in your prayers. She's nervous. She's sick nervous. Sick. She's sick. But I do want you to bring those diapers next weekend, if you can, for the crisis pregnancy centers. I hope we set a world record next weekend for diapers. I never thought when I was in Bible college I'd be asking people to bring diapers to church, but bring some diapers. We're going to bless a couple of ministries that are trying to save and rescue babies, and part of it is letting that mother know that we're here to help them with things that cost, and it's a simple gesture, but it's an important gesture. And hope that you'll bring those diapers. And we'll take a big photo, see how many we can get. Amen? As you know, we're in a series, if you're new to our church, a series called 316. And we're looking at different verses in the Bible that have that reference. And we started 2 weeks ago looking at John 3:16. Last weekend, we looked at Joel 3:16. And today, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew. And we're going to look at Matthew 3:16. Also inside your bulletin are some notes. And as always, I hope that you'll take notes and follow along. This is our third service. Last night, church was packed. We had a great crowd at 9 o'clock, and we've got another great crowd here at 11 o'clock today. So give yourselves a hand. Give yourselves a hand on that. So we come to the book of Matthew. Everybody say Matthew. And Matthew is an interesting text that we're looking at today. We're looking at the text where Jesus is baptized. And we do baptisms here at the church. We've done 30, 40, or 50 of them this weekend so far. But Jesus was baptized, and we're going to read about that in Matthew chapter 3. Matthew, what you need to know about Matthew is that it's the start or the beginning of what we call the New Testament. The Old Testament is over. Everybody say goodbye, Old Testament. Say goodbye, Old Testament. It's gone. There are 39 books in the Old Testament, and there are 27 books in the New Testament, And the first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, the Old Testament, usually in your Bible, there's a page, just a blank page, usually, in your Bible, between the Old Testament and the New Testament. That blank page represents 400 years of silence. That's important to our story today. That the Old Testament, 39 books, you have the Old Testament prophets, and then everything is silent for 400 years. And after 400 years of silence, as we come to the New Testament, this guy named John the Baptist appears. And John the Baptist is kind of a strange guy. He's probably got long hair, probably hadn't had a bath. He's half crazy. The Bible says in Matthew 3, verse 4, that John's clothes were made of camel hair. He had a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts. That's what he ate, locusts. Now, a good crowd here today. I don't think anybody here had locusts this week. Most of you ate normal food. So he's a crazy guy, and the Bible says in verse 5 that this is John the Baptist, that he went out, people went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the entire region of the Jordan. Jordan is a river that goes north and south all throughout Israel. So he's out in the wilderness, but people are coming from the city, from Jerusalem and Judea. They're coming from everywhere, and they're going out to the wilderness to see this guy. And when they get there, verse 6, the people are confessing their sins, and they were being baptized by him in the river Jordan. This is like a religious Woodstock going on here. Now, don't forget, at this time, the Old Testament is still into effect. It's still the way that things are. And John the Baptist, or what we call John the Baptizer, he was the forerunner. Everybody say forerunner. He's the forerunner for the Christ. In other words, John the Baptist is this bridge. He's a bridge between the Old Testament and the Old Testament prophets, who we've not heard from for 400 years. And he's a bridge between the Old Testament and the coming of the New Testament and the coming Messiah, as we know to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 11, this is John verse 3, this is Matthew 3, verse 11, John says these words as these people are flocking out to see him out there in the wilderness, baptizing them. He says, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me is coming one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not even fit to carry. And when he gets here, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." So out in the desert, this wild guy is preaching repentance, people coming from everywhere out to see him. He's baptizing people left and right. Great crowds are following him. If there were TV commercials back then, he would have been called the most interesting man in the world. He had far more Instagram followers than any of the Pharisees. And he's hanging out there at the River Jordan with all these people, and he announces in verse 11, "Hey, don't get all goo-goo-eyed over me, because there's one who is coming after me that I'm not even worthy to carry his sandals." You got to get that. And it happened just as he said it would happen. One day, out of nowhere, according to verse 13, Jesus appears. And it says that Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by who? By this crazy guy, John. And I can just see John out there. You know, he's got locust feet, locust stuff hanging off his mouth. He's about to repent, and he's baptizing people. And he looks up, and here's Jesus. His eyes get about this big. And for the first time in his life, he's speechless. And Jesus says, I've come to be baptized, John. I want you to baptize me. Verse 14 says that John tries. Now, we're working up to verse 16, where Jesus is actually baptized. But verse 14 says that John tried to talk Jesus out of it. It says that John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. Do you come to me? In other words, if anybody's going to be doing any baptizing, Jesus, you're going to baptize me. I'm not baptizing you. This is kind of like if you were, you know, in the backyard trying to show your 12-year-old son how to throw a baseball, and you look over and here's Clayton Kershaw. Or you're trying to teach your 16-year-old son how to throw a football, and you look over and you see Tom Brady. And you'd say, son, I'm not even worthy to carry his cleats. John the Baptist says, there's one coming after me. You think that I'm doing something special. There's one coming after me. I'm not even worthy to carry his sandals. He said, if anybody's going to be doing any baptism, Jesus, I'm not baptizing you. You're baptizing me. Notice what happens in verse 15. Jesus replied, let it be so. What's the word? Right now. For it is, what's the word? Proper. We had some people that came all the way from England this morning. They were at church, and they know this word. It is proper. John's going, oh, no, I'm not baptizing you. Oh, Jesus, oh, you're baptizing me right now. We're not arguing about this, because it is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness, and then John consented. Now, we're not even at verse 16 yet. But before we read verse 16, I want to answer this question. Why would Jesus be baptized? He'd never sinned. John's out there doing these baptisms of repentance. People are going out there confessing his sins, and Jesus shows up and wants to be baptized. Why would Jesus be baptized? We have to answer that question. He'd never sinned. He'd never said a bad word. How many of you, be honest, we're in church. Raise your hand if you have ever said a bad word. Raise your hand if you've ever said, okay, see, you need to repent. Jesus never said a bad word. He had nothing to repent of. He'd never had a bad thought in his head. He'd never committed a bad deed. And yet he's getting baptized. There's several reasons for this. It's proper. It was the right thing to do. Write this down, number one. I think he was baptized to set an example for us. I mean, that's the low rung there of reasons. But Jesus always set an example, didn't he? Didn't Jesus set an example for us on how to pray? And doesn't Jesus set an example for us on how to forgive? And doesn't he set an example for us on how to love? And doesn't he set an example for us on how to sacrifice? And doesn't Jesus set an example for us on how to obey? Well, it just makes sense that he would do this partially just to set an example for us. Number two, I think he did this to signify the beginning of his ministry. His ministry is getting ready to begin. Now, he's about 30 years of age, and you need to know that we know a little bit about his early years. We know that he was born in Bethlehem. We know that, and we know that Jesus was raised in a town called Nazareth. We have one story about Jesus when he was 12, when he was at the temple, and his parents left, and they couldn't find him, and they found him back at the temple. And other than that, we don't know any, if you think about it, we don't know anything about Jesus from the time he was born to when he was about 30 years of age when he's baptized. And he's going to live for about three and a half more years. He dies when he's about 33 and a half. And so At age 30, he's baptized. And we believe that part of this was he was initiating, okay, I've been here 30 years, but I'm getting ready to start my ministry. And so he's baptized. And then most of what you read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are all the stories that took place those last 3.5 years of his life. Reason number three, write this down. He's baptized, I believe, to symbolize his ministry as the suffering servant of Isaiah chapter 53. I'll explain. To symbolize his ministry as the suffering servant. Everybody say suffering servant. That phrase is found in Isaiah chapter 53. And if you read Isaiah chapter 53, it explains in detail, and I'm trying not to confuse you, but Isaiah was written about 700 years before the time of Christ. And Isaiah the prophet in the Old Testament, as he's writing, when you get to that 53rd chapter, he begins to explain in detail that the Messiah is going to suffer and die on a cross. And it's written in great detail. Now, how many of you know that this weekend was the NFL draft? How many of you know? How many of you know this weekend was the NFL draft? Raise your hand if you know. How many of you know this weekend was the Kentucky Derby? Raise your hand. Okay. Listen. The NFL draft and the Kentucky Derby are worthless in comparison to you knowing what happens in Isaiah 53. You know about, wait, you know about the NFL draft, you know about the Kentucky Derby, and you don't know what's going on in Isaiah 53. Every single person in this church needs to read Isaiah chapter 53. And in that biblical prophecy, it tells us that the Messiah will come and that he will die. And that's why we call this the suffering servant, because he's coming to serve, but he's going to suffer. He's going to die on a cross. And he will die. It will be a guilt offering. It will be a sin offering. And at that moment, when he dies on that cross, he will be imputing righteousness on us. We're not righteous. He's righteous. But when he dies on that cross, he gives us his righteousness. Okay? Now, stay with me. And you're going to learn this, but whenever you're baptized, it's kind of symbolic of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, because you stand there in the water as a dead person, and as they lower you back underneath the water, it's symbolic of the Messiah, the symbolic of Jesus being buried, and as you come up out of that water, it's symbolic of the resurrection. And so baptism is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Messiah, of what Jesus Christ did. And so when he comes and he says, I'm coming here to fulfill all righteousness, you're going to baptize me right now. And there you see, it's one of the first times you see that he dies, that he's going to bury, he's going to resurrect. And by doing so, he becomes the Savior of the entire world. I believe that his baptism is connected to that passage in Isaiah chapter 53. But here's the fourth reason. When Jesus is baptized, it identifies Jesus to John the Baptist, that Jesus is in fact the Messiah. Now, write that down, and then you're going to have to stay with me here as I explain a few things, okay? So let's look at verse 16. All right, now we're ready. Here's the verse. Matthew 3. It says, as soon as Jesus was, we're going to read it, and I'm going to come back and explain it. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment, heaven was opened. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him, and a voice, verse 17, a voice from heaven said, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Let's go back and read it one more time. As soon as Jesus was baptized, He came up out of the water. He came up out of the water. At that moment, heaven opened up. And he saw, who's he? John the Baptist. So John the Baptist is out there baptizing all these people, hundreds of people, thousands of people. Boom, 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 boom. Repent, repent, repent. Locust hanging out of his mouth. Jesus comes up and says, yeah, I want you to baptize me. Now. Okay. So he baptizes Jesus. And at that moment, something happened that did not happen for any of all the other people. Heaven opens up, and John looks and he sees, the Bible says, he sees the Spirit of God descending like a dove. Was it a dove? I don't know. It looked like a dove. Doesn't say he saw a dove. It says he saw the Spirit of God that looked like a dove. And that dove came and landed on Jesus. And at that moment, a voice came from heaven that said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. And I'm telling you, John had goosebumps. I got them right now just thinking about this. Woo-hoo! Goosebumps. Now, a couple things. Number one, this is good parenting. You say, what in the world are you talking about? Jesus, God said, this is my Son whom I love. I'm well pleased. And I just want to say, if you have children, how many of you have children? You can find something good to encourage them about. You know, how many of you know kids just get in trouble? And as a parent, you're always correcting them. Look for something that they did good. Isn't it interesting that they have this relationship where God says, that's my Son, I'm pleased with him. If God can do that for Jesus, you can do it for your Son. Amen, amen. Now that was free of charge. That didn't cost. That was free. Number two, write this down. This is the big stuff. What we see here is a picture of the Trinity. And the word Trinity is nowhere in the Bible. So if you start arguing about the Trinity, you're arguing about a word that's not in the Bible. That word, Trinity, is not in the Bible. Now, it's a word that we've come up with to describe God being in three different dimensions. You have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're all three different, but they're all three the same. Oh, Pastor, that's confusing. I know it is a little bit. But if you study the text, you see all three. You have Jesus, God the Son. Jesus is there physically. He's being baptized. There he is. You see him goes down, he comes up. That's God the Son. Then you see this dove come down and descend from heaven. That's God the Spirit, God in spirit form. And then you hear this voice from heaven that says, this is my Son with whom I'm well pleased. That's God the Father. So you see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit in this one text. It's amazing. And they are one and the same, yet they're all different. You say, well, I don't understand that. Well, the illustration we use, you've heard this and it's very simple to understand, is water, H2O. If you turn on the sink, water, H2O, comes out in a liquid form. If you take an ice tray and fill the ice tray full of that liquid and stick it in your freezer, it becomes what's called a solid. It's rock hard. It's a piece of ice. It's still H2O. One's in liquid form. One's in a solid form. And if you put it on a stove in a kettle and heat it, it becomes a vapor or steam. Still H2O, but now it's a vapor. It's all H2O. One's liquid, one's a solid, and one's a steam. Well, yeah, that makes sense. I know that. Okay, well, if you know that, then you can understand this. I think. Write this down. This is the big stuff. When all this happened, what you read about in Matthew 3:16, when you read about this, it validates. That's the word. it validates that Jesus is the Messiah. Okay? Now, we're looking at Matthew's account. So Matthew's there, and he's watching all this. He's looking at John the Baptist, and he's looking at Jesus, and he's listening to John tell the story, and he writes all this down. That's what we're reading. I want you to take your Bibles and turn over to the Gospel of John. I want to read what John writes. And John, now, this is why I know if you're new, I understand the Bible can be confusing. I know that. But John, the Gospel of John, this is not John the Baptist. Matthew wrote Matthew. Mark wrote Mark. Luke wrote Luke. And there was another guy named John who wrote the book of John. And in the book of John, John is also looking, and this is John the disciple. He writes what he saw between Jesus and John the Baptist. So there's a couple of guys named John here is what I'm trying to tell you. Are you confused? Okay. Here's what the Gospel of John records that happened. He actually writes down the words of John the Baptist. Look at John 1, verse 32. It says that John the Baptist gave this testimony. Testimony. You ever explained your testimony of what God did in your life? John is giving his testimony. And he says, here's what happened. I was out there baptizing people left and right, hundreds of thousands of people. Man, they were coming from all over Jerusalem, all over Judea, from every part of the Jordan, and I was baptizing them. But then I baptized Jesus. And when that happened, John the Baptist saw the Spirit of God. It came down from heaven as a dove, and he uses the word remain. It remained. Everybody say remain. Remain. In other words, we've all seen birds. They're here, and they fly over here, and they fly over here, and they go sit over there, and they fly over there, come over here. They never just stay one place. You might have seen a bird do that for a second, then it flies. This dove, it came down, it says, I came down, I was watching, and it just stayed there. The next verse says, it's an amazing verse. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me that the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. You see, when John was saying, I'm not even worried, there's one coming after me, he didn't know who that person was. But he was told by God that when you are baptizing these people, one day you'll see the Holy Spirit come down and remain on one person. You'll know that that is the Son of God. So he's baptizing all these people left and right, and one day he baptizes Jesus, and here heaven opens up, and here comes the Spirit of God like a dove, and it comes down and it just stays. At that point, John goes, this is the guy. Because in John 1, verse 34, it says, I have seen and I can testify that this is the Son of God. That Holy Spirit coming down and staying there signified that Jesus was the Savior of the world. To John the Baptist. Now, if you're looking at that, that could be the deciding factor for you if you believe this story to be true. Take your outline. I want you to turn it over quickly. Take your outline, turn it over. So, this is why Jesus was baptized. This last week, I couldn't sleep. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning. How many of you have, where you wake up, you just can't sleep? Yeah, like right now, some of you are sleeping right now. Yeah, oh yeah, you can sleep here. Yeah, I just go to church. I go right out like that. Okay. So about 3 o'clock in the morning this last week, I was thinking about this sermon. I was just thinking about this whole thing, this story, and I thought, and the Lord just kind of put this in my heart. He just said, like, Dudley, take the word baptism as an acrostic and tell people why we need to be baptized, all right? So the text tells us why Jesus was baptized. But so write this down quickly. I got to go through this quick. I only have a couple minutes here. We're going to go through this quick. First of all, the word letter B stands for believe. If you're a believer in Jesus, you should be baptized. It's that simple. Mark 16:16 says, I give you all the verses here in your notes. Whoever believes and is baptized will be what?
Saved.
Saved. Okay? And so, you know, if you don't believe, if you're not a believer, you don't need to be baptized. Okay? You just chill out. If you're not a believer, don't think, well, do I need to be baptized? If you're not a believer, you don't need to be baptized. But if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, if you believe that, you need to be baptized. The second letter, A, stands for acknowledge. The Bible says in Romans 10 that if you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And again, if you're not willing, if you're not here today, you don't want Jesus to be your Lord, you do not need to be baptized. In fact, you're just kind of wasting our time and you're wasting your own time. Your baptism would mean absolutely nothing if you do not believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and if you're not willing to make him your Lord, there's no need being baptized. The next letter, P, stands for personal. This has to be your decision. Can't be anybody else's decision. I know your spouse would love for you to be baptized. Some of you, your spouse would like to see you get baptized about 5 times. Right? But no one can make this decision but you. I can't make the decision for you. You can't make it for me. I can't be baptized for you. You can't be baptized for me. It's one reason why we don't baptize babies, because parents, you have your kid baptized as a baby. That baby doesn't even know what he's doing. It's not doing that baby any good. It didn't do you any good. And it's got to be your decision. Now, we hope that you raise your child. A lady brought up a baby out front. I held the baby up. It was 2 months old. And it's a mom, and her baby's 2 months old, but she's got the baby in church or in the nursery, whatever. She's going to raise the child in the church. We hope and pray that little Aubrey Renee, that little 2-month-old baby, will one day reach a point where she wants to follow Jesus and she wants to be baptized by her own free will. That's what we hope. Letter T, it's your testimony. It's your testimony. This is that verse, I wrote it down there for you in Romans 6, that your baptism pictures the death, burial, and resurrection. You stand there in the water like this, and you're a dead person. And we take you and we lower you underneath that water. You're telling everybody that you believe that Jesus died and you believe that he was buried. And as you come up out of that water, you're telling everybody that you believe that he resurrected. Your baptism is your testimony of your faith and your belief, your statement that you're on board, your faith, believing that Jesus died, that Jesus was buried, and that Jesus was resurrected. It's your testimony. Letter I, it is by immersion. Baptism in the Bible was by immersion. It wasn't a pouring, it wasn't a sprinkling, it was full submersion, completely under the water. The Greek word is the word baptizo, And that word means to be immersed. It's the same word that Jesus used when it says that he took the bread and he dipped it in the wine. It's the word baptizo. And so here at the church, you can see the water here. When we baptize people, we don't sprinkle you. We dunk you all the way under, because that's the way they did it in the Bible. Now write that number down, 1311. You say, what's that number for? Well, that's a year. That's the date, 1311. And I hope you're listening. For 1,311 years, everybody who put their faith in Jesus were baptized by immersion. It got changed in the year 1311 by the Catholic Church. They switched it from immersion to just sprinkling. And there's a story to all that, but the primary reason for switching it was more convenient. That's basically the story. And so, when people study the Bible, they have to decide, am I going to do what the Catholic Church has told me, or am I going to do what the Bible tells me I need to do? And there's a difference. Now, about a third of this church come out of the Catholic Church. A third. You say, oh, that's not true. Oh, yes, it is. Raise your hand right now if you came out of the Catholic Church. Raise your hand real high. Raise it up and look. About a third of this church comes out of the Catholic background, which is fine. I want you to know it's a one-way street. Y'all know what a one-way street is? I'm going to ask again. You know what a one-way street is? Well, I hope so. A one-way street is this. People who were sprinkled for their baptism, after studying baptism in the Bible, they reach a conclusion, I need to be immersed. That's a one-way street. No one is immersed for their baptism and after studying the Bible reach a conclusion, I need to be sprinkled. Nobody comes to that conclusion. The word means to immerse. Jesus was immersed. Everybody was immersed for 1,311 years until the Catholic Church changed it. And so here at Shepherd, we practice baptism by immersion. Scriptural, write that down, the letter S. Scriptural. Acts 2:38, it's here in your outline, it's on the screen. First day of the church. Peter's preaching. Preached a great sermon about Jesus and the Messiah. And the people said, what shall we do? And Peter said, you got to do two things. You've got to repent and you've got to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the what? You'll receive the gift of the what? You'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, according to Acts 2, verse 38, stay with me. This ties everything together. That when you're baptized, when you repent and you turn your life to God, to Jesus, you name him as your Savior, you acknowledge him as your Lord, you're baptized, God washes your sins away. But he gives you the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why? John, the Baptist, he was baptizing people. And when Jesus was baptized, heaven opened up and he saw the Holy Spirit descend like a dove. And the Bible said it remained on Jesus. And when you come and you're baptized into his name, You might not see a dove, but the Holy Spirit of God is going to descend, and the Bible says that every single believer receives the gift of the Holy Spirit that will remain inside of you from now to all of eternity. And the last letter there is just mission. The mission continues. You say, what mission? Well, the last words of Jesus. These are the last words of Jesus in the book of Matthew. You and I are to go make disciples of all nations. And what are we supposed to do with disciples? What's it say? These are the words of Jesus. We're to go make disciples and baptize every disciple in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And as soon as they're done getting baptized, then you teach them to obey everything that I have ever commanded you. And that's what we do as a church. That's all we do. Our mission is not to collect diapers. Although I hope we collect a world record. Our mission is not to hand out coffee mugs. It's not our mission. Our mission is to go into all the world and make disciples and baptize those disciples and then teach those disciples to obey everything that Jesus has ever commanded. And so, the question, look at your list. The question is, which of these have you not yet done? Are you a believer? If you're not, you need to reread the story about Jesus and John the Baptist and understand that when that Holy Spirit came down and remained on him, that Jesus at that point was John the Baptist, it was revealed to him that this was the Messiah. You've got to think through Isaiah chapter 53. You've got to think through, did Jesus fulfill Isaiah chapter 53 when he died on that cross? If you are a believer, have you ever acknowledged, have you ever made that public confession of faith that he is your Lord? Have you personally made this decision? You have to ask yourself, have you ever been immersed and shown and given your testimony that you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Have you ever had your sins washed away? If you haven't had your sins washed away, you need to come today and have your sins washed away. If you've never received the gift of the Holy Spirit, you've got to come today, be baptized, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And if you've done all that, yet you're not involved in mission, the mission of the church, you just come and sit week after week like a bump on a log, and you're not actively involved in kingdom purposes, trying to build the kingdom of God, trying to make disciples, trying to baptize those disciples, you need to come and ask God to help you to do that. Mm-hmm. Let's all stand. Stand. Here's the baptistry, right here. Huh? See how the light's on? Yeah. Over here, see those wooden doors? I'm gonna pray. If you leave early, you don't get a mug. You leave early, no mugs. They might mug you, never mind. But I'm gonna pray, and if you're here at the conclusion of the prayer, if you've never been baptized, and you're a believer, you need to come today, walk through those doors, and there will be counselors there to help you and talk you and help you be baptized today. Okay? You say, well, it's a long ways to walk. Jesus, remember what it says, Jesus went to the River Jordan. He was up in Galilee. He walked on foot 70 miles. To be baptized by John the Baptist. He walked 70 miles. You can walk 17 feet. Well, the water's cold. No, the water's heated. Once you get in there, you're not gonna wanna leave. Okay, you gotta get out now. It's time to get out. Get out. What am I gonna wear? We have clothes for you to wear. You don't need to worry about that. Well, what about my hair? Well, if you're so blessed to have hair and you're worried about it getting wet, we have hair dryers. Just for you. Well, who's going to watch my stuff? Your stuff. Yeah, my stuff. Who's going to watch my stuff? We have security. You don't need to worry about your stuff. Amen. Well, I want my family here to watch it. My family's not here. I really want them to watch. Listen, we'll take your phone and we'll record it and you can show it to them. When I was a little boy growing up, I grew up in Wichita, Kansas. I grew up in Kansas. Me and Toto. And my dad, we had this church and we had our baptistry. It was kind of like this, but it was like in a cave. That's kind of like a cave, isn't it? But this church, it was like a cave. And my dad, I don't know where he came up with this idea, but I watched this every baptism. The light was this dark, blue, eerie. People would walk in there, you couldn't even see them. It's like, is there somebody in there? And he would take their confession of faith. And then when the person went underneath the water, right when they went underneath the water, the whole thing turned red. The water turned red. The lighting was red, symbolizing the blood of the Lamb, being washed in the blood of the Lamb. And then, as soon as you came out of that water, the whole thing turned bright, which symbolized a new life, a new beginning, a new day, a chance to start all over again. The sins being washed, the Spirit of God. Oh. And I love what the former pastor, Dr. Jess Moody, many of you don't know him, but he was this big, tall guy, southern guy from Texas. He was from Mule Shoe, Texas. And when he baptized people here at the church, when you came out of that water, he did this for every single person. He said, I baptize you now in the name of the Father, Son, who's buried with Christ, rise to walk. And when you came out of that water, he was tall. He'd go just like this. And may the Holy Spirit of God descend upon you right now. And may it dwell within you all the days of your life. He would do that. Man, I was... Oh, it was great. Listen, we don't have lights that are going to change. And Dr. Jess Moody's not here. But you still need to be baptized if you've never been baptized. You need to do that today. Let's pray. Father God, bless us today, and thanks for the church just letting me preach a little longer today. I went way over, but Lord, I needed to get this stuff shared, and we need to understand what we're doing and why we're doing it. And I just pray for any man, any woman, any boy, and any girl who's here today and not a believer in Jesus Christ, as they study the scriptures, I pray that God, that truth rang in their heart. And maybe for the first time, they reach the conclusion that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And the same Spirit, it is the same Spirit that fell upon Jesus that day will fall upon us here today. If only we would step out in faith, proclaim Christ as Lord, turn to Him and be baptized into His name, that same Spirit would dwell within us. I pray that for every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl who's here today, we ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you, and thank you for coming to church. Get your mug on the way out.